I posted several stories about what could be an imminent genocidal massacre of a city with 500,000 Kurds, that is, members of the Kurdish ethnic group, in northern Syria, in northeast Syria. And much of the mainstream media has been silent about this possible catastrophe, taking its cue. In fact, I think the media is taking its cue from President Obama, who has done nothing to prevent this mass slaughter from taking place, despite stating in his September 10th address to the nation regarding, you can call them ISIS or ISIL or IS, I'll use those three terms during this reading. But Obama said, and I quote, "I will not hesitate to take action against ISIL in Syria as well as Iraq. This is a core principle of my presidency." He went on to say, "This is American leadership at its best. We stand with people who fight for their own freedom," unquote. People who fight for their own freedom perfectly describes the heroic fight the Syrian Kurds have put up, largely with modest weaponry, mostly rifles, yet they have maintained a semi-autonomous region in northeastern Syria, fending off ISIS for 3 years with no help at all from the West. But everything changed when IS captured a vast array of modern, high-tech American weaponry, especially heavy weapons in the form of tanks and artillery and rockets, when the U.S.-trained Iraqi army deserted the city of Mosul, you may remember. And when they deserted, ISIS moved in and gained an amazing amount of weaponry, high-tech weaponry and heavy weaponry, and they gained an arms superiority in the region. They also in Mosul captured $500 million with a B, dollars in cash. It was in Iraqi currency, but equivalent to $500 million from a Mosul bank. So while Obama is raining airstrikes on ISIS in Iraq, ISIS has smartly taken its newly adopted heavy weaponry inside Syria into the heart of where the Syrian Kurds live, a region where Obama and Syria's Assad have done nothing to disrupt ISIS from the air. And Obama has not even done anything to provide the Syrian Kurds with the means to defend themselves or humanitarian assistance, as they've been under siege by ISIS for the last almost 3 years. This is a classic case of an indigenous population fighting with rifles against tanks and rockets. The Kurdish city I'm talking about is Kobane, K-O-B-A-N-E. Some spell it K-O-B-A-N-I. That's the Kurdish name. And ISIS has encircled this city with a half a million people. It was normally 200,000, but like 300,000 Kurds have fled there for safety, and they've swelled the population to a half a million. And now ISIS has encircled it in an ever-tightening way on three sides of the city, and the fourth side is in the north, and that's the Turkish border. And the Turks had closed the border, even though all of these Kurds were fleeing for their lives, but they couldn't get over the Turkish border. Until yesterday, Turkey finally opened the border for the first time, and 5,000 to 10,000 Kurds, mostly women, children, and the elderly, poured through. And I have a photo at tangents.com in the far right-hand column. You'll see all these people just stranded at the border, helpless, trying to find safety. And from a tweet that I read earlier today, which is the best way to get up-to-date news. It says Turkey's closed the border crossing with Kobani again as thousands of Kurds flee the ISIS encirclement of the city, while Obama remains silent and does nothing to prevent this possible mass slaughter. But there was a statement from the U.S. State Department. This is from a tweet from a person by the name of Ilhan Tanir, T-A-N-I-R. He goes by at Washington Point, P-O-I-N-T. He said that U.S. Department spokesman Jeff Rathke says, quote, U.S., the United States is closely watching ISIL attacks on Kobani. So Ilhan Tanir asked Jeff Rathke at the press conference, is the United States considering taking action against ISIS in Kobani? And Rathke's answer was two words, no comment. No comment when 500,000 people are facing an onslaught which could just absolutely be of catastrophic death. We know ISIS takes no prisoners. Rarely they do. They just execute them. The headlines at the Tangents website that I'm not going to read any excerpts of, but I just want to read the headlines of the articles. If you are at all interested in this story, I strongly suggest that you read these articles. The first one was written by Dr. Amir Sharifi from a website, ekurd.net. It's a letter to President Barack Obama. It says, provide Syrian Kurds with humanitarian and military support. There's an opinion piece by Michael Rubin of the American Enterprise Institute, the headline, Obama abandons Syrian Kurds to slaughter. There's an opinion piece by the really well-respected, I think, correspondent Patrick Coburn of the Independent UK in England. He says, the world cares nothing for Syrian city under ISIS siege. There's a Reuters French article, French press article, that says ISIS seizes 21 Kurdish villages in northern Syria, closing in on Kobani. That was Friday. Now they've seized 60 Kurdish villages as they tighten the noose around Kobani. There's an opinion piece, the only one I found in the mainstream media in this country, from David Phillips, CNBC.com. The headline, Massacre Warnings Signal Now is the Time to Attack ISIL. And another opinion piece, which I think is really a good one, again by Michael Rubin of American Enterprise Institute. It's simply the headline, On Kurds and Terrorist Lists. And finally, I include the transcript to President Obama's address to the nation concerning the Islamic State ISIS on September 10th. Remember, the United States created ISIS. This is a fact that cannot be disputed. The United States overthrew Saddam Hussein and made the incredibly horrible mistake. I mean, it was bad enough they just, you know, illegally overthrew another country, but they eliminated the mostly Ba'athist Sunni army, disenfranchising the Sunnis, which then they formed Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Al-Qaeda had never been in Iraq, ever. And Al-Qaeda in Iraq morphed into ISIS, or ISIL, or IS, as they are called now. Fast forward to this past August, and the event that galvanized Obama into an about-face in terms of military re-engagement in Iraq. You may recall it was the impending genocide of the religious minority Yazidis, who had to flee to Mount Sinjar in Iraq, facing starvation and certain death. Many Yazidis had already been massacred, and several hundred women reportedly were forced to convert and sold to IS fighters as brides. Obama ordered American airstrikes, and the accompanying humanitarian relief operation represented one of those moments when American capability and moral commitment came to the fore. Headlines all over quoted Obama, who proclaimed, quote, "We broke the siege," unquote. But that's not the end of it. In fact, the rest of the story was censored or misreported in the mainstream media. The Iraqi Kurdish army, known as the Peshmerga, they had been the protectors of the Yazidis, and when ISIS came to attack, the Peshmerga fled. After the United States attacked ISIS to create a corridor for the Yazidis to escape, they needed to have an armed escort. Who would do it? Who could do it? Peshmerga couldn't do it. There weren't American boots enough on the ground to do it. The Kurdish armed group known as the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or the PKK, crossed over from Turkey into Iraq and rescued the Yazidis over the border and brought them back into Turkey and into safety. Many were brought to the city of Mardin, where I will be in 2 weeks along with a bunch of Tangents listeners for the Turkey music tour. The heroics of the PKK, without whom the Yazidis would have perished, it was not reported in hardly any media, let alone the mainstream press, because the PKK is considered a terrorist group by Turkey, by the United States, by the EU. So it's not the kind of publicity the United States wants. But it's important to understand a universal law. And it says that virtually any resistance group that in the past engaged in armed conflict against its government is considered a so-called terrorist organization by Western powers. The Kurds could be our best friends inside Syria. We are starving to find a legitimate fighting force. The Kurds in Syria, they're secular, they're tolerant, and in my opinion, they're aspiring to democracy. But because of their links to the PKK, who are helping them try to fight against ISIS, the United States considers them terrorists. The PKK began an insurgency against the PKK began an insurgency against Turkey in 1984. But it was only in 1997 that, largely out of deference to Turkey, of course, our NATO colleague, the State Department designated the PKK a terrorist group. The PKK has never targeted Americans, ever. And the Turkish government and the PKK have agreed to a ceasefire and enter talks. Turkey, in its single-minded pursuit to support anyone fighting Syria's Assad regime, had an open border policy for ISIS fighters to cross over from Turkey into Syria. The core of early ISIS were Turks. And the Sunni countries, Saudi Arabia and Qatar, who are supposed to be part of this broad coalition that Obama talked about, of course, none of whom will put boots on the ground, supposedly. Qatar and Saudi Arabia were and may still be primary arms suppliers and financiers for ISIL. So what we have is the United States created ISIS, and they're seeking the help of Turkey and Saudi Arabia, who were the primary countries who nurtured ISIS into adulthood. But the Syrian Kurds, who have been fighting ISIS well before they became U.S. enemy number one, are not given any assistance and potentially are left to be massacred by American tanks and rockets that were taken by ISIS in Mosul, in Iraq. The truth is, it's in Turkey's and the United States' interest to provide these Kurds with the means to fight off ISIS, or ISIS could eventually control the Syrian border with Turkey. Have you ever seen a map of Syria and Turkey? That's a 510-mile border. The terrorist label amounts to geopolitical rhetoric that has no place in this calculus. This is a much larger genocidal threat than the Yazidis faced and reveals the hypocrisy of the United States' so-called moral commitments and the complicity of the mainstream media, which is not adequately raising awareness. All of the articles are at tangents.com. I encourage you to open the links and read them.